say we are honored to be here, and I just thank the Lord for laying it on Brother Angel's heart for us to come there. We'll spend more time later today with introductions and things like that, but just want to sing for the Lord before we have our Sunday school message. And it's truly a wonder what Mary must have thought when she looked at her newborn son and how he was not only her baby, but he was also her maker. You know, all that's a wonder, but it's really more of a wonder that Jesus would die for a sinner like me. A song called The Wonder of Wonders.
The wonder of wonders as she looked on his face, that this little boy spoke the world into place. The stars and the moon shining brightly on them, the earth and the sun were created by him. The wonder of wonders, oh how could it be that God became flesh and was given for me? The Almighty came down and walked among men. The wonder of wonders, he died for my sin. The wonder of wonders, as she looked down and smiled, that he was her maker as well as her child. He created the God incarnate, come down to the earth. Oh, wonder of wonders, as she heard his small cry, that this voice had thundered on Mount Sinai. His small hand she held so tenderly, and made a dry path to the mighty Red Sea. The wonder of wonders, oh how could it be that God became flesh and was given for me? The Almighty came down and walked among men. The wonder of wonders, he died for my sin. The Almighty came down and he walked among men. The wonder of wonders, he died for my sin.
The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know, this time of year, it seems like, it's everybody's this way. It seems like you don't have enough or something to try to make it through the season. But, you know, we're blessed in so many ways. We don't need any more whiny Americans. Good night. We're blessed. But problems do come. Sometimes curveball come in life. But, you know, we don't need to lean to our own understanding. We just need to lean on Him.
Why I'd go alone and cry.
Turning to Ezekiel chapter 34, Ezekiel chapter 34. I've been excited about this meeting, looking forward to it. I appreciate your pastor. I heard him preach in Decatur, in Illinois, and it was a time where I knew the Lord, and it was a very encouraging message about how much more was the title of the message, and it just helped us during that time. And another thing I appreciate about your pastor is I didn't know really a lot about the church here. I mean, some today just, you know, give a trophy to their own church before you even know anything about it. And I looked up on the internet, Faith Baptist Church, and I thought, you know, that's a good-sized church there. I didn't know a thing about it. I appreciate the humility of your pastor. Appreciate that. I've already enjoyed the spirit of you folks just walking in this morning. It's a blessing, I tell you. There's a lot of places. I don't want to get on a bandwagon, but it just seems like there's just pat on the back churches out there that they look at you, man. You're great. You're so great. I don't know what you do, but you're great. You know, they're just, I don't know if you know what I'm saying or not, but I appreciate the spirit of what I see here that you have Faith Baptist Church, and that it's a rare thing. But it takes people and unity choosing just to give God the glory instead of promoting yourself everywhere. And I do appreciate that. But anyway, Ezekiel 34, really, if you want to hold your place, that's where we're going to have our title for the message. But 2 Chronicles 14, you can be getting your finger in that place too. But I'm going to read Ezekiel here. Now, I'm really a junior evangelist. I don't know how to quite say this. A children's evangelist is really more of what I do. During the summer, I preach a lot of youth camps and vacation Bible schools, what we call kids' crusades and things like that. I do a little ventriloquism, a lot of things. I started in children's ministry when I was 16 in junior church and also working in youth camp, and that's all I know. Now, so you'll have to give me a little space today. I'm used to preaching to children, but I will keep it simple enough for all the adults to understand. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 34. The title of our message comes from this.
Now, am I on? I'm okay.
Okay. Verse 26, and I will make them and the place round about my hill a blessing, and will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessings. I would just about say that the fellow that wrote the song for Showers of Blessings probably got the title from this verse. And it's speaking about the future of Christ's kingdom, but there's showers of blessings now, and that's really the title of our message, our lesson this morning, Showers of Blessings. Let's just have a brief prayer. Lord, Father, we thank you for your blessings to us. If we begin to spend time with a list of blessings, we'd be here all morning. And Lord, you've been so good to us, so fair to us. And Lord, we just pray that you would use your word this morning to just help us to be thankful. And Lord, just to stay connected with you. And Lord, just to choose to do what's right for all you've done for us. And Lord, we'll give you glory for what's done. In Jesus' name, amen. To bless means to bring happiness upon. Blessings come in different forms. Sometimes it's a protection that God gives us. Just gives us a blessing. Do we deserve protection? We don't deserve that. Job was protected. And God took the protection off for a time of testing. And so God gives protections, and that's a blessing. I'm going to move right along. Possessions. God blesses us with the things. And that's kind of the way we think, you know, this time of year, you know, I mean, we just think of these dollars falling from heaven upon us. You know, we just, are y'all with me today? That's what, and as an American, that's what we think is a blessing. Everything's in the black. That's a blessing, right? And I guess that's a blessing too, possessions. But then sometimes connections are a blessing. I'm just so thankful with people that we fellowship with. The Lord has just opened doors for us. I'm just amazed at who the Lord puts us to be with in the ministry. And so friends, connections, family, and things like that. How did you hear about this church? You know, did the Lord see the Lord bless you to give you that connection? Let's just look back and just give God the glory. Lord, thank you for letting me be a part of this. And so that connection there. And so we enjoy these times when God is heaping blessings. Now let's just stop for a second. We don't deserve showers of blessings. When it comes to what we actually deserve, it's hell. Don't whine as an American. We consume, as American, over 60% of the world's goods. I've been to India. I tell you, I can spend a lot of time on that burden right there. It helps you to be thankful. I wish every American could just be a week in a third world country. We might have revival. We're just so unthankful. And we just think, God, why are you doing this to me? Listen, let me tell you something. God is good to us, but He's fair to us. He's way fair, like kids say. He's just fair to us. We don't deserve to be here today. We don't deserve any of His blessing. It's amazing that God would bless a sinner like me. Amen. I may spend more time tonight talking about our family, but I'd like to get to know you, and I'd like to, you know, tell you a little about where we came from. But I grew up in church. My parents were invited by their family to an independent Baptist church when I was 3 years old. This is all I ever known. I went through Christian school from kindergarten all the way through college, the same place. My mom and dad still go to that same church. My dad drove a bus for 30 years. My mom taught Sunday school class, second grade boys for 26 years. I am what I am by the grace of God. And let me just say, I said all that to say that you parents here, it's worth it. It's worth it. I stand before you and answer to prayer. It wouldn't be for my parents keeping me in a place like that, because there was an exodus. You know how church happens. There was an exodus. Some of the same family that invited my family to come started to leave. My dad said, I don't see a reason to leave. Some of them lost some of their kids from that. But myself and my two brothers are still in church. And give God the glory for it. You think God's been good to me? You think He's been fair? He's been way fair. Now, I like the stories of the kings. Let's go ahead and look through 2 Chronicles chapter 14. King Asa.
We're going to look at some reasons God blesses here and ways God blesses. Now, there are strings attached to blessings. We'll see that. You'll see it through the Bible easily. But 2 Chronicles chapter 14, King Asa, the Bible says, in his days, the last part of the verse there, in his days the land was quiet 10 years. You know what? Look up here. Now, you have to forgive me. Sometimes I'll say, you know, if I'm with kids, I'm like, raise your hand if you're listening, you know. Or who's sitting up the straightest? You know, I have the little things there. I know we probably have the bus workers, some bus workers in here, right? Because Sunday school, you know, you're, right? Who's bus workers in here? Okay. All right. But yeah, you work with kids and so forth. So anyway, if I, you know, just stay with me. You know, it's a blessing for a king to have peace in his kingdom. That's a blessing. Did he deserve as a king? He became king. For 10 years, there was peace in his kingdom, but there were some strings attached to that. Look at how Asa started his kingdom. Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He cleaned house in the kingdom. He took away the altar of strange gods, the high places, break down the images, cut down the groves. He really cleaned house. And the Bible says, verse 6, last part, he had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. You cannot expect blessings while practicing unrighteousness in your life. Here's the point, okay? God blesses righteous actions. Righteous actions. If there is sin in your life, you better not try to expect any blessings. You think God's going to bless a practicing liar, a cheat, abusive, drunk, or something? God's not going to bless that. So if there's sin in your life, you're not going to have blessings. I don't understand. God's not being fair to me. Hey, he's being way fair. If you say, I want to get in on some more of these blessings, you better get in on being right. He, as a king, began his kingdom with peace. And the Lord had given him rest. Look at the end of verse 7 there, right in the middle. It says, because we have sought the Lord, our God, because we have sought him, he hath given us rest on every side, so they built and prospered. God blesses righteous actions. Now, I want to chase a little quick rabbit here. Sometimes we that are trying to do right and are trying to receive blessings, we look around at others in our flesh and say, God, why are you blessing them? I mean, you think in your mind, there's something wrong. There's something wrong there, and so why are you blessing them? We're not the only ones. Job went through this. I just want to quickly do this. I know I've just got a few minutes here. Let's look over at Job. Verse 21. Job chapter 21. Job went through this. Of course, he was going through it. Wherefore do the wicked live? Become old, yea, are mighty in power. He couldn't understand why the sinners were getting away with it. How are they, you know, getting powerful? Their seed is established in their side. He's just looking at them carnally. He's saying, how are their children making it in life? Their houses are safe from fear. Neither is the rod of God upon them. He's like, God, why aren't you whipping them? I don't understand this. And he went on and on. He was just mully grubbing. Verse 13, then he realized they spend their days in wealth and in a moment go down to the grave. He began to realize, see, the Bible says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. What we need to do is just mind our own business. We don't need to be looking around and say, God, why don't you whip them? What do you deserve? You deserve hell. Let's just do what's right and God will bless. We do not have time to go around trying to make sure that God punishes everybody. Let's just do what's right. What's preventing you from being punished? See, only the grace of God. So, I mean, King Asa really, you'll see in another place over here, he even removed his grandmother. And that was hard. If you want to see that, chapter 15, verse 16, concerning the mother of Asa the king, which was basically, she was still queen, but she made an island grove. It's like he went, oh, Grandma, we can't have idols around. You know? Are y'all with me? And that's hard to take a stand in your family. But God help us, we're losing our family. We have to be example, and he started his kingdom with the right foundation, and God blessed him. Now, it would have been easy to just sit down and say, God, you know, you're doing great here. We have a time of peace and, you know, not get prepared for war. But he didn't do that either. He still got his armies ready. He was ready even though it was a time of peace, a time of quiet. Look at verse 8 of 2 Chronicles 14. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears, of Judah 300,000, and of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. He still was prepared, even in time of peace. 500,000 in his army. He was ready to go. And so, number one, God blesses righteous actions. Now let's move right along here. In verse 9, something began to change after 10 years. Verse 9, there came out against them Zerah, the Ethiopian. Now, I'm not going to tell any Ethiopian jokes, but, you know, everybody knows they're skinny people. Skinny, I mean, that's kind of the joke, right? Ethiopian skinny. Okay. There was a host of 1,000,000. Now, if you know math and the Bible, that's 1,000,000. 1,000,000 Ethiopians. Now, they might be skinny, but I'm going to tell you, they're fast. They're fast. And so, I mean, the math here, the armies are almost 2 to 1. This enemy, this host can't come against him. In verse 10, then Asa went out against him and they set the battle in array, and some very long names there. In verse 11, Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help. That's just a good title for a message right there. This right there. Is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. In thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians. I'd like to have seen that. Man, I'm talking to me and Ethiopians just jigabooing out through there. God just won the battle, but he trusted. Now here's the point. God blesses righteous attitudes. He could have just whined. He could have sat down here and just said, God, I don't understand it. I've been king for 10 years, man. He got this big old 1,000,000 army. I don't have that many, Lord. Why are you doing this to me? But he didn't whine about it. He said, Lord, it doesn't matter how many there are. It is nothing with thee to help. He didn't whine about it. He just trusted the Lord. We are spoiled. We are spoiled people. Let me just say one thing here about India. I got to say something. I'll move quick. They don't wear shoes in the church services. They all pile their shoes up outside. All the ladies' shoes on one side and all the men's shoes on the other. Everybody's barefooted. Now, I heard about it before I went, so I bought new socks. I bought nice, thick, padded socks. I didn't want to walk through there, show my white feet in front of everybody, so I wore socks. But they're, you know, they keep their church cleaner that way. But really, it's a spiritual reason, too. They treat it as holy ground. And I didn't understand some things. It hit me while I was over there. You know, when the Lord came in the flesh on this earth, you know, when he was incarnate, he came. That was the way it was then. They had the sandals, the dirt that they walked through all the time. And here's another thing about India that you may not understand. It'll help you. We have a blessing here. I want to be trying to nice here, but they don't use toilet paper in India. Now, don't meditate on thought too long, but I'm just saying, it's a blessing. Somebody invented that stuff at one point here. Amen? Aren't you glad? Yeah. I'm trying to be nice, but I'm trying to say when the Lord came here, are you thinking about what he came from to where he came to? He came from heaven. He came here to this filthy world. Filthy. He came and they didn't have sewage like we have now here in America. It's like it is over in India. It's nasty. And so when the disciples, he lined them up and said, I need to wash your feet. That meant more to me. God help us with our attitude. Why are you doing this to me? You just don't get it. How good God has been to us. How fair he has been to us. For him to die for sinners like we are. For even to care about us. And for even make a way to bless us. God help us with our attitude. Look at chapter 15. The Spirit of God moved on the preacher there, Azariah. He went out to meet Asa, and he said unto him, "Hear ye me, Asa, all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you be with him. If you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." You see the connection there? You do right, God will bless you. If you do wrong, God will curse you. Just a reminder there, preacher, going on. So anyway, let's move right along to chapter 16. King Asa still reigning here. And in the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa. So he's been reigning a long time now. So he's an older king, experienced. Before I go any further, I just want to say this. I appreciate folks in the ministry that have been in a long time, and just like my grandmother, been living a long time, just to hear somebody that's been through life. God help my spoiled generation not to miss what an older generation has been through. But some don't stick with what they know. I pray with the angel that when I get older, that I won't make mistakes like King Asa began to make when he was older in his reign. God help us. Anyway, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come into Asa, king of Judah. Now there was civil war all the days of Israel and Judah. Y'all understand where I'm coming from. I don't have time to give a lot of background here. And so Baasha is going to shut him in, you know, maybe try to tax him in, starve him or whatever, just put some pressure on the other kingdom there, the civil war. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, "There is a league between me and thee, as there was between me and my father." Trying to make a peace treaty with the king of Syria. I wrote in my Bible out there, I wrote, "Oops." You see, number three, you know, God blesses righteous actions and attitudes, but He also blesses righteous associations. Here, he gets yoked up with the wrong people. You think the blessings are going to continue? No. Let's see what happens here. So, he made this peace treaty, and of course, the king of Syria came over and took care of the problem, and he just thought, well, it went good. Then the preacher got word about it. Verse 7. At that time, Hanani, the seer. Now that word seer is like the preacher or the prophet in the Old Testament. Okay, the prophet. Came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him. Now this is a sermon. This prophet's going to come in and preach a message. You just look at the points here. In verse 7, you see, "Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand." That's an introduction to a rough message here. But he said, he just states the facts. He said, "You didn't trust the Lord. So you're going to lose on this." And then he, as preachers do, reminds of past blessings. Look at verse 8. "We're not the Ethiopians." He said, "You remember long ago in your reign?" It was probably, 26 years ago at this point. He said, "They were a huge host with many chariots and horsemen, yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, He delivered them into thy hand." He said, "You remember that? You remember when you were doing right, God was blessing your kingdom. He took care of that million Ethiopian." And then verse 9, I love this verse. He just makes the preacher just makes a point about the way God is. "For the eyes..." This is a good verse. Everybody looking at it now. Right, kids? Look at this verse now. It's good. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him." You just need to be a dry sponge and just soak that in good. The Lord is... You know what that says? The Lord's looking for somebody to bless. That's what it says. You know what my reaction to that verse is this. Over here. Right here, Lord, looking over here. Isn't that verse good? He's looking. Do we deserve for Him to even look at us? He's looking for somebody to bless, but there's a string attached. it says there, whose heart is perfect toward Him. That's who He's looking for. That's who He's looking for. Somebody who's keeping that great commandment of thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength. That's who He's looking for. He's looking for somebody to bless. He's looking to bless you. But your heart's not right toward Him. He's not going to bless that. Just a point in the message. Is that a good thing for a preacher to say right there? Then he makes another point. Herein thou hast done foolishly. we can make comments on what we would say. We're going to move on. Therefore thou shalt have war. You're going to have wars from now on. Well, verse 10. And now it's time for the invitation and the message. Let's see King Asa's response to the invitation. Then Asa was wroth with the seer. You know what that is? He was mad at the preacher. That's what it says. He was wroth with the seer. And you know what he did? He put him in a prison house. And this was the same king over here that trusted the Lord. There's nothing with thee to help. Lord, you're going to remove his grandmother, cleaned house, and everything. Now he's mad at the preacher. And he puts him in jail. Now listen, I know that sometimes when the preacher says something, we may get a little, you know. What we do, we may not could put him behind real bars, but we do it in our mind. We just put it in our mind. And go, you know what I mean? We just put it in our mind. Just, I'm not going to lock it in. You know, just, huh? And look, he just lost it. He was enraged with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. He just lost it. So, let me just say something here about this. I got to hurry. Earthly connections do not necessarily give you spiritual advancement. That was for adults, okay? That wasn't for kids. You got that? Earthly connections. You know, you need to be connected with the Lord. Don't try to do something to help you. Lean to the Lord, not your own understanding. So, did the blessings continue? No. Verse 12, Asa in the 39th year of his reign was diseased in his feet. The Lord just gave me a thought about this morning. Diseased in his feet. You know what? When you stand physically, the foundation is in your feet. Or if you're going to stand right. If you're off a leg, you know, if you've lost a leg, you're not going to stand very good. That's your foundation. That shows to me, spiritually, if you look at it like this, he lost what he had started his kingdom. The very foundation of his kingdom. I think a picture would show when he was diseased in his feet. In other words, to say, you lost your foundation, King Asa. You started by trusting the Lord. God gave you peace. God was the one that gave you the rest 10 years. God blessed you with the Ethiopians, took care of that. God gave you a great kingdom, but you decided to make decisions without the Lord. You lost the foundation. Lessons, God blesses right and curses wrong. You want blessings? Showers of blessings? You got to do right. Not anything fancy this morning. Just you see it all through the Bible. Now, he never promised, lesson number two, he never promised exactly when the blessings or the cursing would start. See, we treat God like Burger King, you know. Go, and here's a little spring. You drive up to the window. Okay, Lord, I need this, this, and this, and this. Put mustard on it. So, okay, first window, okay. And we leave there like there's something wrong with the burger. You know, that's the way we do at Burger King. And it's like, Lord doesn't do things like Burger King. Amen. He's not Burger King. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He doesn't do things like that. So we just trust His timing. We want blessings. There are strings to be attached to that. Amen. You do right. Keep the right attitude. Mind your own business. God will bless that. Just simple. Just simple. I could spend a lot more time with some other things here, but I'm going to move right along. He said, make my hill a blessing. You know what? When you look at God's Word, there's just mountains of blessings that are there for you. Strings attached. Let's trust the Lord and He will give showers of blessing. Father, thank you for your Lord, your word is always encouragement to us. And I pray that you'll help us to have the right foundation in just trusting you. Lord, if the foundations be destroyed, what can we do? I pray that you'll help us to stand on your word. We give you glory, Jesus. Amen.
I never tire of hearing somebody just come to the pulpit and say, do right. Right is the key to blessing. Obedience is the key. And the good thing about right is everybody can do it. Nobody's exempt. I never get tired of that. Thank you, Brother Crumpton. God bless you. Thank you for the singing. And their kids are going to join them, and we're going to have them sing 2 or 3 in the morning service, and then more tonight when we have a little bit more time. So that would be a blessing. But do you want to step out by the table this morning and stand out there if you want to go by and take advantage? They've got 3 or 4 different CDs out there. And I can tell you, you're going to enjoy the singing. You can tell that already. They're good singers, so you'll enjoy that for the kids. And I'll tell you who will like the singing. Your kids. Kids like to hear kids sing. They really do. So go by and take advantage of it. That'll be good. All right, let's stand up. We'll let the other folks in. Shake hands with these folks that are visiting today, the Cantrells. Of course, greet Brother Bowling and Kim back there. We'll get the other folks in and get started in just a minute.